Today is the 19th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. And how great it is that we can be together today and move forward on the grand adventure. Here around the global campfire as we take our next step forward through the Bible. And we are in the book of Esther right now. And we will continue that journey with chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7 today. When Mordecai learned all that had occurred, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went into the middle of the city and cried loudly and bitterly. He went only as far as the king's gate, since the law prohibited anyone wearing sackcloth from entering the king's gate. There was great mourning among the Jewish people in every province where the king's command and edict reached. They fasted, wept, and lamented, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's female servants and her eunuchs came and reported the news to her, and the queen was overcome with fear. She sent clothes for Mordecai to wear so that he would take off his sackcloth, but he did not accept them. Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who attended her, and dispatched him to Mordecai to learn what he was doing and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened, as well as the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay the royal treasury for the slaughter of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa, ordering their destruction, so that Hathach might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and command her to approach the king, implore his favor, and plead with him personally for her people. Hathach came and repeated Mordecai's response to Esther. Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to tell Mordecai, "All the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard and who has not been summoned. The death penalty. Unless the king extends the gold scepter, allowing that person to live. I have not been summoned to appear before the king for the last 30 days. Esther's response was reported to Mordecai. Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. "Go and assemble all the Jews who can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my female servants will also fast in the same way. After that, I will go to the king, even if it is against the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went and did everything Esther had commanded him. On the third day, Esther dressed in her royal clothing and stood in the inner courtyard of the palace, facing it. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the royal courtroom, facing its entrance. As soon as the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she gained favor with him. The king extended the gold scepter in his hand toward Esther, and she approached and touched the tip of the scepter. "What is it, Queen Esther?" the king asked her. "Whatever you want, even to half the kingdom, will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," Esther replied, "may the king and Haman come today to the banquet I have prepared for them." The king said, "Hurry and get Haman so we can do as Esther has requested." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. While drinking the wine, the king asked Esther, "Whatever you ask will be given to you. Whatever you want, even to half the kingdom, will be done." Esther answered, "This is my petition and my request. If I have found favor in the eyes of the king, And if it pleases the king to grant my petition and perform my request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet I will prepare for them. Tomorrow I will do what the king has asked." That day Haman left full of joy and in good spirits. But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and Mordecai didn't rise or tremble in fear at his presence, Haman was filled with a rage toward Mordecai. Yet Haman controlled himself and went home. He sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh to join him. Then Haman described for them his glorious wealth and his many sons. He told them all how the king had honored him and promoted him in rank over the other officials and the royal staff. "What's more," Haman added, "Queen Esther invited no one but me to join the king at the banquet she had prepared. I am invited again tomorrow to join her with the king. Still, none of this satisfies me, since I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate all the time." His wife Zeresh and all his friends told him, "Have them build a gallows 75 feet tall. Ask the king in the morning to hang Mordecai on it. Then go to the banquet with the king and enjoy yourself." The advice pleased Haman, so he had the gallows constructed. That night, sleep escaped the king, so he ordered the book recording daily events to be brought and read to the king. They found the written report of how Mordecai had informed on Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the entrance, when they planned to assassinate King Ahasuerus. The king inquired, "What honor and special recognition have been given to Mordecai for this act?" The king's personal attendants replied, "Nothing has been done for him." The king asked, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was just entering the outer court of the palace to ask the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. The king's attendants answered him, "Haman is here, standing in the court." "Have him enter," the king ordered. Haman entered, and the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king wants to honor?" Haman thought to himself, "Who is it the king would want to honor more than me?" Haman told the king, "For the man the king wants to honor, have them bring a royal garment that the king himself has worn, and a horse the king himself has ridden, which has a royal crown on its head. Put the garment and the horse under the charge of one of the king's most noble officials. Have them clothe the man the king wants to honor, parade him on the horse through the city square, and call out before him, 'This is what is done for the man the king wants to honor.'" The king told Haman, "Hurry and do just as you proposed. Take a garment and a horse for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not leave out anything you have suggested." So, Haman took the garment and the horse. He clothed Mordecai and paraded him through the city square, calling out before him, "This is what is done for the man the king wants to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate. But Haman hurried off for home, mournful and with his head covered. Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordecai is Jewish and you have begun to fall before him, you won't overcome him, because your downfall is certain." While they were still speaking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and rushed Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared. The king and Haman came to feast with Esther the queen. Once again on the second day while drinking wine, the king asked Esther, "Queen Esther, whatever you ask will be given to you. Whatever you seek, even to half the kingdom, will be done." Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if the king is pleased, spare my life. This is my request, and spare my people. This is my desire, for my people and I have been sold to destruction, death, and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept silent. Indeed, the trouble wouldn't be worth burdening the king. King Ahasuerus spoke up and asked Queen Esther, "Who is this, and where is the one who would devise such a scheme?" Esther answered, "The adversary and enemy is this evil Haman." Haman stood terrified before the king and queen. The king arose in anger and went from where they were drinking wine to the palace garden. Haman remained to beg Queen Esther for his life because he realized the king was planning something terrible for him. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Would he actually violate the queen while I am in the house?" As soon as the statement left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "There is a gallows 75 feet tall at Haman's house that he made for Mordecai, who gave the report that saved the king." The king said, "Hang him on it." They hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. And the king's anger subsided. First Corinthians 12, 1-26. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus is cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." Or again, the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Psalm 36. Human wickedness and God's love. For the choir director of David, the Lord's servant. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked person. Dread of God has no effect on him, for with his flattening opinion of himself, he does not discover and hate his iniquity. The words from his mouth are malicious and deceptive. He has stopped acting wisely and doing good. Even on his bed, he makes malicious plans. He sets himself on a path that is not good, and he does not reject evil. Lord, your faithful love reaches to heaven. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your judgments like the deepest sea. Lord, you preserve people and animals. How priceless your faithful love is, God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are filled from the abundance of your house. You let them drink from your refreshing stream. For the wellspring of life is with you. By means of your light, we see light. Spread your faithful love over those who know you, and your righteousness over the upright in heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant come near me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. There, the evildoers have fallen. They have been thrown down and cannot rise. Proverbs 21, 21 and 22. The one who pursues righteousness and faithful love will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise person went up against a city of warriors and brought down its secure fortress. All right, so the book of Esther is obviously incredibly dramatic, and we got a lot of that tension in today's reading. Haman devised a plan to destroy the Jewish people throughout the Persian kingdom. He got the king to go along with it. Neither of them knew that the queen was a Jewess. So a law is passed instructing the enemies of the Jews to destroy and pillage them. And this was to happen on a specific day. And as the law reached the provinces, horror and desperation followed. So in sackcloth and ashes, and that's an outward representation of what's actually going on, the emotional agony within. Mordecai sent word to Esther, pleading for her to intervene on behalf of her own people. But there's a really huge problem. If the queen came into the presence of the king, with no invitation, she could be executed. So Mordecai sent a chilling but empowering message in response. Don't think for a second, because you're in the palace, that you're going to escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will come from some other place, from somewhere. But for you and your relatives, you will die. It might be, who knows, perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Ooh. Then in our reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul answered a question about spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, Paul says, but it is the same Spirit that is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And so Paul's outlining the ways that God bestows or dispenses these different gifts, which are wisdom, special knowledge, great faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in unknown languages, and interpretation. And these are given to different people. And these gifts are to be used to serve the greater whole. And he said, and this is brilliant, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So Paul's explaining that all believers collectively make up the body of Christ. Each part of this body is irreplaceable. No part, right? No part can say to another part that it is not needed, because that is absolutely untrue. Every part is needed and necessary. And when one part hurts, the rest of the parts hurt as well. That's so interesting. Like in therapy work and mental health work, there's parts work, how we, you know, can visualize and understand that we have different parts to us that are kind of broken along the way. Like, have you ever heard yourself say, you know, a part of me wants this, but there's this other part, the part of me doesn't. A part of me wants this, a part of me doesn't. And so we're conflicted inside of our own selves in which way to go and what to do. We're being pulled in certain directions that other parts of us know we should never go down that road. And so these different parts get in control for different reasons. It's a pretty profound way of understanding how we operate inside this crazy place called our brain. And as fragmented as we may be because of trauma and wounds and things that have been imprinted on us and passed down to us through the generations, you know, we see the world the way we see the world. We don't always really understand what's going on inside of our own head, or why. In the end, wholeness is what we seek. In the end, that is what sanctification is about. In the end, bringing all of the broken back together is healing inside of ourselves. We can hate some of the things that we do and not understand our own selves why we do it. Paul says that in the book of Romans. There can be a constant civil war inside. And there is. But we're kind of stuck with ourselves until we can kind of sort that out and bring the pieces together. In the body of Christ, it works the same way with all kinds of broken people. So it's very easy for us to lop off all kinds of things that we actually need, the same way we would exile those kinds of things within ourselves. No part gets to say to another part, I don't need you. And our eyes, can't say to our feet, I don't need you. Our ear can't say, well, because I'm not the nose, I'm out. The hand can't say, I'm out of here because I'm not the belly button. And I feel like I was born and called to be the belly button. We're all in this together. And we all make up a whole. Imagining the body of Christ so beautifully helps us imagine ourselves and can give us a profound amount of grace for ourselves, because we all want unity. We all want everything to be on the same page, and if it would, there would be peace on earth and peace within. If we could just get on the same page that we're all broken and we are all in the process of being pulled back together. And then that is globally and cosmically pulling everything back together as a whole, as it was intended to be. Then we would have grace and mercy in the process. Far easier to say than to live. But that is what is happening here. If we could truly absorb the reality of what Paul is saying, we would ultimately find that it gives us freedom to be ourselves. We don't have to compare our gifts, our status, or anything in God's kingdom. We're exactly who we were created to be. We're supposed to be ourselves, which is not an excuse to let ourselves be all fragmented. It's about pulling ourselves back together in wholeness so that we reflect the glory of the Lord upon the earth. We're supposed to be ourselves instead of wishing we had somebody else's life. So may we live into this today. May we catch ourselves every time we compare and stop and remember that you're already irreplaceable. Every time that we have envy, which, by the way, is a form of hatred, we want what that person can do or has, their gift or their whatever. And so we envy. Maybe slow it all down. Stop. Remember that you have what you need. You are uniquely gifted in your life. And you are deeply needed. God is the source of all of it, all of the gifting, and everything matters. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. If we can zoom out to this place and see the whole picture, the bigger, the larger story, then we find that all of the things that we are doing so often is about competition and is about, well, frankly, being what we are not so that we can belong when we already do. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. That is where you find out what's happening here around the global campfire. So check in at the Daily Audio Bible shop, where there are plenty of fun things here at the campfire as it continues to burn, like the Global Campfire candle with a wooden wick that kind of crackles while it's burning and emitting this beautiful sandalwood kind of aroma that we formulated with a perfumer that evokes smoke, campfire, like campfire, because that's what we are. So sitting here at the campfire, so light it up and let it fill your room, or grab yourself some campfire matches or a campfire t-shirt or so many things to check out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is a meaningful place to be, a space in your life that is here, that is serene, that is secure, that is safe, that is healing, that is a place of repair, if it means something, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Lord, we just lift up our sister, Little Cherie, in Canada, and all the other listeners who are struggling with MS. Oh, Father, we just pray for each one of them, Lord. We know that you love each one of them and that you have a purpose and a plan for each one. And I ask, Father, that you would bring to their mind and bring to their eyes that they may see and hear you, and that they may see that place that maybe they might be missing that is there with them, that you have called for their life. Father, there is so much good things that you want to bring into their lives. One of those things, Lord, is peace and hope and faith and trust and joy. And I just pray for all those things to be a part of their day. Today, Lord, I pray for healing of their bodies. I pray that you would heal them, take them to a place where they can be able to move and do the things that you are calling them to do. I pray that they would hear of good answers to their prayers, that they would see the results of their prayers, that they would find joy in seeing how you are hearing their voice, that you are moving in their prayer requests, how you are bringing all these things to pass in their lives, that would give them hope in knowing that they have a purpose and a reason for what is going on in their lives. It's hard to say that, Lord, because it's a real struggle. We who don't suffer in this area, we don't understand what these people are dealing with every day. And so I just really ask for a special blessing on each person, including our little Cherie, who is fighting this horrible disease. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
This is Diana, his dearly beloved in the Pacific Northwest, with several very overdue praise reports. My dad, Lee, was peacefully released into the loving arms of Jesus on July 25th. This happened the very morning after I asked my amazing Dab family to pray specifically for that. On July 6th, my message aired sharing that I had been caring for my dad in Minnesota for 3 weeks. He was having trouble breathing, wasn't sleeping, and refused to go to the hospital. The day after I prayed and before that prayer aired, he agreed to go to the hospital and was admitted to the VA again. Then the day after my second prayer and before that prayer aired, my dad was transferred to the VA hospice unit. We had previously been told it could take weeks for an opening, so we knew this was another answer to prayer. Thank you so much for praying for my dad and for me, those praying in the background and those whose prayers I heard. Manita from Illinois, Northeast Kneebender from Junk to Treasure, Mountain Girl in New Mexico, Debbie from New York, Alta Lee Halley, Mark the Baby Doctor from Dayton, Ohio, the Badger from Wisconsin, Cowgirl from Canada, Robin from Texas. I prayed for your mom too. And following promptings in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, I especially love your calls reminding us of all our praise reports. I also want to thank Hands to Heaven for the July 18th Community Prayers Devotional. It was such an inspiring reminder to thank and praise God for our loved ones, even in the midst of grief. The scripture was 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. You reminded us that although it isn't easy, it is so comforting to remember all the good and beautiful truths rather than focusing on the painful thing we cannot escape. Thank you, God, for allowing me to sit in your healing presence, for my dearly beloved dad, for letting him be my dad, and for all the blessings you gave me through him. I also love the powerful reminder from Hands to Heaven on March 14th. We don't fight our battles for victory, we fight our battles from victory. They've already been won. We need to remember that and to remind the enemy of that too. Thank you all so much for your prayers, love, and encouragement. I love you all so much.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Renzo in Florida. It's been a while since I've called up. Went through a lot these past few years, but you know, I'm still on the still on the narrow road with Jesus. I'm grateful for everything that he's done in my life. He's grown me so much. And I just want to say I've been praying for everybody on here. God bless y'all for real. And I'm just grateful for what God's doing right now. If you could continue to keep me in prayer, I have a lot of life changes going on right now. Living situation, going back to school. Thank God that my company that I'm working at right now is paying for my school, so I'm beyond blessed and I'm grateful. Just pray that the Lord would help me with the worries that I do have and my anxieties, and I would cast my cares onto him. He has delivered me in so many areas of my life, from lust, from things of this world. Still a battle every day, but the Lord is really good. I can't even describe the words that I have for his faithfulness. So yes, and if you could just keep me in prayer, I would really appreciate that. In this time, it's very difficult. Sometimes I just have these times where, you know, I mourn, or I feel like I'm David, you know, be like, Lord, my soul is downcast, you know, so just keep me in prayer. I really, really appreciate that. And God bless all of y'all, and I love y'all for real.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. I'm going by striving to be Christ-like on the West Coast. I've been a long-time listener, well, for about like 7 years, first time calling in. I just want to say I love you all, and I'm so thankful for the Hardin family, and so thankful for this beautiful and wonderful community. You guys are truly my church community, and I consider you family. I do think of you all and pray for you all often, even though I know I haven't called in. I'm calling because I'm just going through a really tough season in life right now, actually for a few years. My sweet mom is declining, just cognitively and physically. My family and I, we just recently put her on hospice, and, it's just hard. I know she'll pass on to a better place, but I'm just struggling seeing her suffer along the way.
So I'm just asking for your prayers just to keep her comforted and at peace during this time. And just for comfort for myself and my family too. That's all. I just don't want to see her suffer. So please, just keep us in your prayers. Thank you for all of you that have given prayers for the caregivers. I received it. I'm her daughter and I've been her caregiver for years after she had her stroke. And she's just been declining over the past year. So thank you for those prayers. We need it. Sometimes it's being a caregiver is like a really lonely place to be sometimes. Even with her.
Good morning. My name is Lisa. I'm from Texas. I am compelled to call this morning because exactly a year ago, I had just been released from 32 days in the ICU. I had coded twice, had to be intubated twice, and by the grace and mercy of mighty God, He healed me, brought me back. I went through rehab, and I live by myself with limited, provision now. I'm on oxygen, can't do what I used to do, but I'm thankful for every day. And the Daily Audio Bible went with me. Every morning, even in the ICU, I turned it on. There were always nurses, staff people around me. And the only time I made an effort to turn it down was if someone needed to directly speak to me. Otherwise, I just let the scripture go. I saw people, staff, with tears in their eyes. I had one young man, a respiratory therapist, he reached out, grabbed my arm, said, "Thank you for sharing the word with me. I needed that." So we are connected globally. And I'm so thankful that God allowed me to live and brought me back from death. If you know anything about vital statistics, my temperature was 91. My blood oxygen level was 37. And my CO2 count was 150. Normal is 30. So God bless all of you. Thank you, Jesus, for having me here. And be blessed, have peace, whoever you are. God knows your situation and He hears you. And He's a healer. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. Blessings, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Paula from Los Angeles calling in today. I'm a longtime listener, but I don't call in very often. I guess it's because I just don't feel like my prayers are that important. But today I'm calling because I used to be a child advocate, but now I feel like I'm becoming an adult advocate because a lot of my friends are elderly and they're alone. And yesterday I spent probably 8 hours in the ER with a friend who's a widow, and her name is Anne. And I want to lift her up in prayer because she has no one except a daughter who lives far away. And she's having severe health issues right now. So she relies on her friends, which I'm one of them, to help her out. And it's hard. It's hard on her and it's hard on us because we're not that young either. So if you could please keep Anne in your prayers. She's going to see her primary doctor today and we'll find out what's going on. And I also want to say that I wish I could be a better evangelizer. I really don't know how to do that too well. So pray for me that I can be a better evangelizer. Thank you so much, family. I listen to your prayers and I pray with you. Thank you so much, each of you, for calling in. I recognize your voices because I've been listening for so long. And I love hearing them. Thank you, Brian and Jill. Bless you all. Bye for now. Paula from the LA area.